Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 490, yesterday.
Did you say 490?
Isn't it that what we're on?
I'm shocked that we are 10 away from 500.
And we have no major plans.
None whatsoever.
It's just going to be another episode.
You need to do a poll. I really think it should be Dora.
Oh, God damn it. Going out with a whimper.
Yes. What, are we done at 500?
Yeah, well, if we do Dora, no.
If we do Dora, you're like, if we do Dora, I quit. So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves. So
this is Brad.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. Kevin's still on strike after all the lousy things he said about him last episode.
He doesn't care. He's posting pictures of Billy Goat and Gruff on his Instagram.
Please note, Kevin, I didn't say anything.
All of a sudden, Tom and I are replaced
while the mics are on. Yeah. No, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Sorry, you can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And of course, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content and maybe even end up on the show. You never know.
You never know.
And of course, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. So, there's all that. I guess let's dig into yesterday, shall
we?
What
a charming effing movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was.
This was great.
It was cute.
And yeah. I know a lot of times cute is dismissive on a film, but this was really cute.
That's the best. It was charming. Cute is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just dive right into it. Premise of this movie is you've got your main character is a struggling musician who's writing garbage songs that aren't.
You know, I wouldn't even call them garbage.
They aren't garbage.
They
songs.
Were just mediocre.
Yeah, they were fine.
Right.
You know, and they weren't rock star level. They weren't anything.
Yeah.
It's a song you can get away with playing in a bar.
Right.
And that's what he was doing.
He gets a ticket to a festival. And he's so excited, but he's playing for like five people. Was one of them Danny Boyle? By the way, I caught it at the last second.
I have no idea what Danny Boyle looks like.
Oh,
so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Would you consider him the Howard Hawk?
I was just sitting here thinking that he is like a modern day Howard Hawks, and that he can direct great movies in radically different genres.
So obviously he did Trainspotting, right?
Trainspotting.
28 Days Later. Slumdog Millionaire.
What was the one where they were going into the sun?
Sunshine.
Oh yeah, that is Danny Boyle. Yeah. That's right. So he's this journeyman that can kind of do anything and extremely well.
Yeah,
he got himself into a little bit of a trouble. I think he said, I couldn't direct a female lead, I'd be like calling myself a fake.
Yeah,
and I think that's taken out of context, where he's just like, to me it felt like the comment is like, there are plenty of more capable directors out there besides me as a male.
And that has nothing to do about the female talent though either. It's his ability to relate to who he's directing.
You know, it's a weird thing, because one of the first things they teach you when you're writing is they tell you, write what you know.
Right.
Yeah. And so,
if you don't know a female struggle.
Right. Which is also why it's important to have many different voices contributing to entertainment.
Right.
And not just white guys. Right.
Yeah, sure.
But a white guy's going to know a white guy's experience, and they're going to tend to write white guy movies, which isn't bad, but it's also why you don't want 100% of your films being from white guys.
That's why Joss Whedon needs to clam up.
Yeah. So it's like knowing where your limitations are. You know, that's why it's important. Instead of saying, hey, white guy, learn how to tell this other story.
Right, exactly.
Maybe it's more important to go find other stories and let those people tell them.
Yes, yep. Exactly. And so, like, I think it was taken out of context, and of course, you know, the media does what it does.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
and
what
it,
I would.
But
imagine.
It got buried.
Have you ever seen The Beach? I didn't realize he directed that.
Is that the DiCaprio one?
DiCaprio, yeah.
It's the one he made right after Titanic.
Yeah. And yes, of course I saw The Beach because it was right after Titanic.
I've never seen it. Is it any good? Like, I didn't realize it was.
I don't even remember. It was in like 94 or 96.
No,
it would
have been like 98.
90, yeah.
Because Titanic's 97.
I just didn't realize it was a Danny Boyle film. And so now I'm like, oh, maybe I should go watch this.
So that's post Trainspotting?
Yeah, I think he probably got it because of Trainspotting.
Okay.
Guess.
Oh, and he did Trainspotting or T2.
Yeah, which was okay.
Not the Terminator. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure we're
on the same page. And Shallow Grave.
He did Shallow Grave?
According to Wikipedia, and we all know the internet's never wrong.
It can't be wrong. So, yeah, he's just such an interesting director. And 28 Days Later, ooh, that's a hell of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I mean, obviously, he got the Oscar for Slumdog Millionaire, which he should have.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting that he goes back to that nationality in this one.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice in that it doesn't affect the film at all.
At all.
You know what I mean? Like,
he's just a dude.
He's just a dude. Like, it's you know, which I kind of dig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's
got the dude. The chick kind of digs him. Well, she really digs him.
Digs him. And he's an idiot.
He's a total... Yeah, that's my one problem with this movie is, like, dude.
Like, I don't have a problem with the actress. Like,
she's wonderful.
But I love Lily James.
But I almost feel like they should have picked maybe a slightly less attractive actress.
Because Lily James is beautiful.
Because I'm just like,
how are you putting her in the friend column?
Right.
Yeah. Like, on what planet does that happen?
Yeah.
If you're wanting to keep, because I guess it's been a while since I saw it last Tuesday. But his, like, motivation or his reasoning for doing that is that she's, of course, a really good friend, but she's also his manager, right? And he, like, want to jeopardize what?
Manager of what?
His career? I mean, he's...
I guess, but I got the impression from the beginning of the film that she was, like, doing a lot of work to promote him and get him in place. But I guess, like...
But it ain't working.
No, yeah, so, like, to me, I took it as, like, he's just a clueless dope.
Yeah, that was my biggest... I didn't know how to narrow it down when I was writing about it, but I didn't feel like I was behind him. I don't even know how to word it now, but, like, my biggest problem with the movie was just, like, was Jack, and I guess later on believing that he was this big of a star in 2019 with this music.
Well, but, like, I will agree with that. Like, it's like in the whole
would these songs have worked in 2019? I mean, obviously
to the level that they worked for the Beatles through the last couple decades,
right, sure,
you know, but
especially as instantly,
yeah, right. So okay. So he goes to this gig and it bombs. He doesn't bomb, but it's just there's nobody there.
Yeah. He's playing one of these side tents at a festival, and there's like six people in there.
And
three of which are his friends.
Right.
Yeah.
So he quits. He's just like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to go back to, I'm going to work this full-time job at the grocery store. It's over. He's riding his bike home. He gets hit by a bus. In the process of him getting hit by the bus, the world goes dark
for 12 seconds.
12 seconds.
Yeah.
And comes back on. And then he wakes up in the hospital. I love this scene where, like, she's like, I have some good news and I have some bad news. Like,
yeah, this was, I wish there'd been more of this kind of teasing between them, especially because we hadn't really seen that from her. And so at first watching the scene, I'm like, is she just being a bitch?
She's like, what's going on here?
You don't get that relationship.
Yeah.
There's
really no give and take. She's just giving it and he's taking it.
She's like, but you're really ugly. Yeah. Your teeth
and then
are missing.
To the makeup's credit, he looked gnarly.
When he says, because he lost his front teeth.
He's like, I'm a reverse rabbit.
Yeah.
So this movie does have some really good comedy. Like, they're very funny together. The Rocky character that we're introduced to later is great. Like, he's very funny.
And as somebody who works in the concert industry,
you know that guy.
That's a dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you see that more than you should.
Yeah.
Well,
the guy just doesn't know what he's doing.
Or that he's been given a job with the tour because
he's somebody's
friend, mm-hmm, and he really kind of has no other job or life skills.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I get that. So he wakes up and he's bummed. Like, he's just super bummed. His guitar is smashed. So he goes and sees his friends and Lily James, and she gives him a guitar, and he I loved this part too, where he's just kind of like, you know, it's a great guitar and it deserves a great song. So he starts playing Yesterday, and of course Lily James and the friend, like, start just tearing up, and they're just like, holy shite. And she's like, oh my God, when did you write that? He's like, what do you mean, when did I write that? Like, Paul McCartney wrote it, like the Beatles. And they're like, the who? And he was like, no, the Beatles. And I was like, if they did that, I'm glad that joke stopped.
Right.
You know, like that one was over.
Yeah.
So he runs home, looks up the Beatles, and there's nothing.
Yeah, him trying to Google the Beatles, and it just keeps bringing up a picture of a Beatle on Google. Yeah.
Right. There's nothing there. So he's freaking out. Like, he thinks that they're messing with him. He gets home, he Googles it, there's nothing there. His mom, this is so okay. This is what I wanted to ask you. The cultural relevance of the Beatles, did they influence Coke, or is that just something that just got forgotten?
No, it's just there are just random things that are also been removed from the culture, and they never explain, and I think it was smart.
Yeah,
why. Yeah. Like, because nothing they would have told you would have been interesting, and you would have just gone down the rabbit hole of picking that apart.
Right.
But yeah, like throughout the movie, there's this running gag of like certain things are also missing from the world.
Right.
Like cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like cigarettes have never been invented.
Coke was never invented.
Did it become tiring to you, like, or like at least predictable? Like, as soon as they start mentioning these culturally significant things or whatever, I'm like, oh, that's gonna be something that doesn't exist anymore. But
I didn't even think about it.
I kept forgetting about it, and when it would pop back up, it would amuse me.
I did like that Oasis wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Well, and when he Googles Oasis, and then he's like well, that figures.
Yeah. So we should say that's how Lily James and Jack met is that he was at a talent show and played a cover of Wonderwall,
because they never said. I was like, well, what song did he perform now?
He can't play Wonderwall.
He couldn't have played Wonderwall. It wouldn't have existed.
Then how did he?
Okay, he'd had to make it up. I mean, he could have owned the rights to Wonderwall.
Or maybe he
could do. I mean, I guess once we get to the end, you can't really come back from that.
Yeah.
So you can't be like, these are my new songs.
Yeah.
Huh.
So he starts playing again, and he realizes that nobody. The Beatles are gone.
Like,
the Beatles don't exist.
No
in
one
this
has
world.
Any they, recollection of the Beatles
at
ever
all.
Being
no John Lennon. No Paul McCartney. No Ringo. No.
Now,
George.
Part of the problem with this, though, is that it would cause a number of bands.
That's also
to
what
no
I thought would
exist.
No longer exist.
Like, they never really go down that road because there's a generation of bands that if you ask them, I mean, they're on record.
Yeah.
Where they're like, what, you know, what got you into rock and roll? And they're like,
the Beatles.
Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Yep.
Like, I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and I was like, gotta do that. And then they went and did that. And I mean, you hear that story, you know, from pretty much any major artist in the 70s and 80s that was of a certain age in, you know, 1964 when they debuted on, you know, they will tell you that story.
Right.
I mean, you hear it over and over and over again.
That was my thing, is like, so you take them, it's the butterfly effect, right?
Right. Because
you take them out.
You know, I think it was Ernest Hemingway who said that, like, no novel written after Huckleberry Finn was uninfluenced by Huckleberry Finn.
Sure.
And that if you think you weren't influenced by Huckleberry Finn, you were influenced by somebody who was influenced by Huckleberry Finn, right?
Yeah.
And like, the Beatles are the Huckleberry Finn of rock
music. I totally agree.
Like, if you exist post Beatles, you were influenced by
Where does Elvis fall in there?
Elvis predates the Beatles.
Okay. So, I mean, in theory, you could say that it was because the Rolling Stones exist. So you could say that Elvis and the Stones.
Isn't there a thank God gag when he Googles the Rolling Stones?
He does. He Googles the Rolling Stones.
He's like, oh, they're so rocking.
But yeah, so like in theory, you could say that the Stones took their place, but they never reference anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job keeping, like you said, it was wise to not explore like how it happened, but like they do a good job containing it to a story of what a man would do
right
like, in this situation with knowing all this this wonderful music from decades ago that has influenced so many, and then actually having the career that he was dreaming of having
right
with it, but then the guilt that probably that we see kind of.
I gotta tell you, not a single ounce of guilt. If the Beatles never existed, and I were just like, I wrote them all, and I can't get caught. If I can't get caught for writing some of the greatest songs ever, for not writing some of the greatest songs ever,
yeah,
I'm taking the credit. You better believe it.
Maybe it wasn't guilt, but just his, like, I guess it wasn't the life that he wanted. Because, like, when he, by the end of the
movie,
when he's singing Help, you know, like, he's screaming on the stage.
He's, like,
know,
having a meltdown.
Right, right. which could be looked at as just doing a rock and roll performance. You know, like it can go one of two ways. He's definitely struggling when we get to that point. So he starts to like go through all of these Beatles songs, and this dude must have a photographic memory because he remembers them all.
First off, he doesn't, because you see him struggling to recreate the songs.
Yeah,
and you see that with a couple other songs too, as he's trying to think of them. But also, like, I mean, as someone who grew up listening to the Beatles, like, I think I could recreate the lyrics to those songs, a lot of those songs, pretty faithfully. And I'm not a musician,
right?
So like, he probably also played those songs a lot as he was a kid.
That makes sense.
And so I think that that's very doable, especially some of the bigger
Beatles. Like, I mean,
I know growing up, I don't feel like you hear them on the radio quite as much as you used to, just because radio
AM now.
Yeah, but you heard them tons when I was a kid growing up, and my guess is you hear them still a ton in England.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
for sure. When I was a kid, it was KLOU 103.3.
Yeah.
Played them all the time.
And growing up, there was kind of this dividing line on the Beatles, which I always found interesting, was everything up until, like, Revolver was oldies. And from Revolver on was classic rock. So you'd hear from Revolver on Casey.
Right.
But
everything,
but
back.
You would never, unless they were doing like some sort of retrospective or special or something, but like on a daily basis, you wouldn't hear like I Want to Hold Your Hand or Seven, or, you know, Saw Her Standing There.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I just always find it interesting that like they're an oldies band and a classic rock band, but it's two different portions of their catalog.
Sure.
That live in each world.
And now, I mean, thanks to digital media,
yeah,
like that you can listen to everything,
yeah,
at your leisure,
right?
Or if you're British, your leisure.
Ooh, excuse me, that's right.
So he's he's going around, and I do love, he's writing all these lyrics down, and he was like, oh, you know, he goes downstairs, he's going to his parents, and his dad, I love his parents are great, like his parents are funny,
yeah,
the dad is,
they're
hilarious,
such parents.
Yeah, they're such parents.
Yeah.
So he's gonna sing, he's like, I just have some new songs, I want to try them out, if it doesn't work, you're right, I'm out, like I'll go back to work at the grocery store full time, it's fine. And they're just like, well, all right, play us one,
right?
And he was like, okay. And he's gonna play Let It Be.
This is such a great scene.
This is an amazing scene. Yeah. I loved this scene. So he starts doing it, and it starts going, and of course, like, the phone rings.
Yeah, like the parents just keep getting distracted, and he's getting so frustrated because he knows, he's like, he even says, he's like, this is one of the greatest songs of all time.
You are the first person,
and you're the first people to hear this song.
And the dad's like, well, the first 10 words.
Yeah,
you know,
like, no. And then like a neighbor comes over. Right. Oh, Jack's just playing his new song for us. Leave It Be.
He's like, no, it's Let It Be.
Yeah.
And of course, the guy's on the phone. Like, the phone starts.
Yeah.
So like, it's funny because we know that he knows, but to everybody else, he's like this pretentious artist.
Yeah, he comes off real douchey because he's like, these songs are the best songs ever written in the history of mankind.
Right.
And they're just like, okay, geez.
It's interesting that we're getting, coming off Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
We had Rocket Man. We've got this. We're going to have the Bruce Springsteen one.
Oh, is there? I didn't know they were doing a Bruce Springsteen
one. Yeah. So, and it's kind of based around the same thing where this kid.
Oh yeah.
He's in high school or whatever.
Yeah, and he's obsessed with Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, like Bruce Springsteen starts talking to him.
Takes place in the '80s.
Yes,
right.
Yeah. So the music biopic. It's not even biopic. These
kind of jukebox
movies are starting to take off. So yeah, so he goes to the gig and he plays a couple of the songs, and nothing really happens.
Right.
And I do like where he's like, maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
Like he goes out, he's bummed out, he's sitting outside drinking a beer. And he's just like, it's just me. Like, I'm the problem. I don't have the charisma. And then Lily James, she's like, if that were true, I wouldn't have this. And it's like the card of a record producer.
Well, yeah.
A local
right.
Guy with the recording studio.
Exactly.
So they go and they start recording songs. And they basically play every song you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and he starts handing out the songs to
at the store.
Like, it's a free CD. You just go, you do your thing. He gets a little bit of media coverage, and I'm trying to think what he starts playing. He's like, play us something that we haven't heard before. And he was like, all right. And it's, of course, he breaks it. I don't remember what the song was, but it's like one of the biggest hits ever created. And he was like, yep. Well, that was pretty good, I guess.
On the TV show in my life.
Okay, yeah. And he's like, well, I guess that was all right.
yeah.
Moving on to Morty with his, you know, his Well, he's like, bread you should pudding. Call it in my warehouse.
Yeah.
Because you work at a grocery
it's
store.
It's crazy how, I don't know what the record industry was like in the 60s. I'm assuming it was fairly similar, but less commercial. I don't know.
Now, it was sleazier, I think.
You think so?
Well, because it was still, I mean, there were no rules, like, right? Like,
yeah, you know, I guess like that's
it's
true.
It, payola wasn't illegal, and it was just, I mean, I think it was even sleazier.
Yeah, that could be. Well, we get to the 2019 record label.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I got to tell you, some of these are really dumb. And he's like, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band? No. It's Winston from New Girl.
Right.
And the White Album. It's a little racist.
Yeah, we got some diversity issues there.
And they do Abbey Road. But it's just a road.
But in their defense, it's not called the White Album.
It's just called, it was
it's
it
just called the Beatles. It's a self-titled album. But everyone has called it,
the White Album
because it's an all-white cover. But
does it
is
not say the White Album
it
on
is
it?
It is not called the White Album.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Yeah.
Have you ever heard the Gray Album?
With Jay-Z?
Is that with Jay-Z? Yeah. Yeah.
That's nuts.
No, I grew up listening to the White. I just always assumed it was called the White Album.
No, it is not.
Interesting. But yeah, then he's like, Abbey Road? It's just a road, man. Like, what are we doing here? And then, of course, they put a 2019 spin on it. And they, you know, they do it. Either way. So he records the songs. He hands them out.
But I also think as easy it is in those scenes to, like, laugh and make fun of that guy, like, I think that he's also right.
Yeah,
like,
that's how it would be today.
Yeah, like, if you called that album that today.
You're like, what?
Yeah. Also, like, Sgt. Pepper's, he's not releasing Sgt. Pepper's. He's essentially releasing the greatest hits.
Right.
Yeah.
And so.
Right. Was that a story? That's a story, right?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of a concept album, but it's not really like telling a linear story in the same way that like Tommy did or The Wall does. But it was kind of like the beginning of concept albums where people started like, well, we could do that, you know, because it was like what I think they did. I think the Beatles did Revolver and then the Beach Boys put out Heard Revolver and they were like, oh, man, we got to up our game. And then they put out Pet Sounds.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm doing this right. And then
you would know.
And then
this is your jam, brother.
And then McCartney heard Pet Sounds and was like,
crap.
Oh, crap. Well, we got to up our game and put out Sgt. Pepper's. And then Brian Wilson heard Sgt. Pepper's and instead of
said I quit
instead of going oh crap he went oh snap and his mind broke and because he was trying to top it with the album Smiley Smile and then he just got obsessed with sound and just kind of went crazy and the LSD didn't help
probably not
and,
which one hung out with Manson
I don't remember which one I mean
one
I don't remember.
Brian Wilson did.
I don't remember which one. I know that he was kind of circling around that world.
Yeah, it was Brian Wilson.
Submitted a song to them that they didn't buy. And But yeah, like, and then he just got obsessed with trying to like write this, you know, perfect thing. And like, and he did, but he couldn't get a whole album. Like he, like Good Vibrations kind of came out of that.
Okay.
Which was referred to as a pocket symphony, right? We talked about that in Love and Mercy.
Sure, yeah.
And it's a great song, but it took him forever to do that 3 minutes. Now imagine trying to do 9 more songs like that. And it's just, he went mad and
that's what happened.
Yeah.
So they toured, right? Like they toured all together.
The Beach Boys?
Yeah.
So they did a 50th anniversary tour. That would have been in 2006, I think, is the 50th anniversary.
Okay.
No, maybe it's a little bit earlier than that. But it's earlier than that. And every living Beach Boy was a part of that. But Mike Love owns the rights to the name. Mike Love is kind of famously a dick. And it's weird. Like Brian Wilson has always kind of come in and out of the Beatles or the Beach Boys. And like sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. Even at their peak, they would tour, but a lot of times not with him.
Sure.
Like they would go off and tour and he'd stay home and write the stuff and then they'd come back and they'd record it.
Here's
then,
new songs.
And then they go out and tour again, which is part of why people get mad that Mike Love has writing credits on some of that stuff.
Sure. Because
they were like, you weren't even, you were touring. But anyway, that's
okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. So he records the songs, he gets on TV and then, Ed Sheeran hears it.
Yeah. Ed Sheeran hears In My Life.
Yes. And he was like, it's the most beautiful song I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And like what I need, I want you. Well, he calls him first.
Right.
And he's just like, what? No. Okay. Bye. And hang, cause he thinks it's his friend.
Giving him
some guff. So he goes home, sleep, you know, he starts writing more songs. He's doing his thing. and then Ed Sheeran comes to it. And it's actually Ed Sheeran. Comes to his house.
They do a little thing with, like,
I love the head fake here.
The glass where you don't know if it's...
They had set up this thing where when people would come to the parents' house,
shot like through like a...
You'd see like the reflection from a mirror that was like slightly cracked.
I gotta tell you, that's brilliant cinematography.
Yeah. And you couldn't see their face.
Right. You don't know if it's actually him.
Yeah, and they had already established this. Now, I mean, they also kind of gave it away in the trailer. You see Ed Sheeran
in
the trailer.
Yeah.
But if you hadn't seen it, like, it comes to the door and you think, like, well, they didn't really get it.
Right, exactly. Right.
This is going to be a gag and it's going to be one and done. And then he finally kind of, they pan up and it really is Ed Sheeran, who is wonderful in this movie.
He's great.
Yeah.
As himself. And
the hey dude is like, come on.
I remember thinking that when I was a little kid, because I didn't like when I was listening to, I was listening to them without context.
Sure.
I just would play the records and I'm, you know,
hey, dude.
7 or 8 years old. And even then, I was just like, I didn't know that Jude was Julian Lennon. Like, I didn't know any of that backstory.
Right.
Again, I was a little kid.
Sure.
But I was just like, why would they just call this Hey Dude? Like, that makes more sense.
It's so great. You know, where he's just like, you want me to change this to Hey Dude? He was like, yeah, it sounds better. Doody, doody, doody. And he's just like, all right, man. So, yeah. So he hears him. He's like, well, I need you to open for me. He's like, you're really good. Like, you've got some, like, play me something else. And they do, I don't know if he does something else, but he's like, I need you, like, Tuesday. Like, we're going to Moscow or whatever. And he was just like, well, all right. So he calls Lily James. This is the scene where I was just like, oh, God, like, this is going to suck. This is going to suck a lot. So, you know, he's like, I need you to come with me. And she's like, no, I can't come with you. Like, I'm a teacher. So he's just like, I guess I'm going. And he goes and he plays USSR.
Back in the USSR.
Yeah, and I love that Ed Sheeran's like, interesting choice for the name of a country that wasn't around when you were old. Like,
right.
Like,
how he's old like, are why you? Would you call it that? He's like, I like it, but why would you do
that? And he was like, play it that.
And he was like, when did you write that? He's like, oh, on the plane on the way over.
He's like, you just wrote that called the USSR on the plane ride over
here? I feel like that was one of multiple gags with the Ed Sheeran character, where because later on it's kind of like toying at the idea that he doesn't quite believe him.
Yeah.
Because later on they have the sing off, let's write a song and perform it in 10 minutes, and then another one he tells him a song concept and he's like, I don't believe you.
Right.
So like over and over again I'm like, he's kind of onto him but still playing along with him.
I also like the fact that like you could see that Ed Sheeran is
pissed,
is kind of getting dejected.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, which is really ballsy for Ed Sheeran to play that him. role, because it's like he really could have came off looking like a dick,
because
you can tell that like he knows he's still successful, and but he's also kind of like mad that it comes so easily for this guy.
Right.
But he's like still being nice to him, he's not being a jerk.
Right.
And, but you can also tell that like he's jealous that this guy can just shit out these amazing songs
right.
with apparently zero effort.
Yeah, they do the sing off.
Yeah.
And he's just, Ed Sheeran's like, all right, man, here's the deal. You go your way, I'll go my way. We have 10 minutes.
Yeah, we leave the room. We both have 10 minutes to write a new song.
The greatest song ever.
Nothing sitting in the bottom of your drawer. Like, you gotta start from scratch. And
of course, Ed Sheeran comes out and does his
Penguins
thing.
Or was that something else?
Something about Penguins. Is that a song? I don't know.
I saw it in the credits on the way through. I'm like, this is an actual song called Penguins. I don't know if it was written for the movie or not.
Ed Sheeran song.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm
like, I think
serious.
That he's really good. And I thought it was an interesting concept to have him play himself in this movie and then allude to being the best songwriter. Like,
is he a good songwriter?
Like, his music, I've really liked.
I mean, he's extraordinarily popular. I mean, he played Busch Stadium when he was here last.
Really?
Yeah, he can move those kinds of tickets. Yeah.
I probably heard it. I couldn't tell you.
You could. You didn't know the gag later on when his own ringtone was his song.
Yeah.
I figured that's I picked up on that, but yeah. Anyway.
Sorry.
No, it's totally fine. It's what we do.
Yeah.
So, of course, Jack comes out and just destroys with a Beatles
long
song.
And winding
long
road.
And winding
like
road.
He comes out with just like,
come on,
long and winding road. Right. And you can see he was, because Ed Sheeran came back with a good song.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he comes out with long and winding road, and he was just like, are you effing kidding me?
So we forgot to say, Rocky become this guy who we've seen throughout becomes his road manager. He gets on the plane and he was just like, oh, Ed Sheeran, you're so good. Not so sure about the rapping, though. You might want to leave that to the brothers. And Ed Sheeran's just like, cool.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks. He's like, no, I'm just saying, like,
I've seen people do this. It's so painful.
He doesn't realize that he's digging himself a hole.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's great.
Oh, it's so painful. I have absolutely watched this happen in meet and greets and stuff where people try to like give advice or something.
That's exactly just, what he was doing. Yeah.
Like, oh, it's like, please stop talking.
Right. So while that's all that's going on, Kate McKinnon shows up as Ed Sheeran's manager. She's fantastic. Like, she's so slimy and scuzzy, but in a lovable kind of way.
But she wears it on her sleeve, right, so you, kinda, you can't get mad at her.
Yeah, not
it's
at
like,
all.
You knew what you were signing on
exactly.
for. Like, yeah.
So she says, like, let's get you into L.A. Let's get you, we'll get you squared away. And he was like, for what? You're going on tour. You're going to record these songs. We're going to put out the greatest album ever. You're going to make all kinds of money, and I'm going to take 70%.
Yeah.
What I appreciate is that it's a snowball. Like, it's happening so fast.
Right.
And he was not prepared for it. So he goes to the States and he starts recording the album. And I love this scene where he's recording the album and Lily James calls him and he's just like, he freaks out because they're on his ass about like the time or whatever. And he was like, I need time to concentrate and be creative and blah, blah, blah. And Kate McKinnon, like, going off like an artist.
Yeah.
And Kate McKinnon's like, all right.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about.
It was funny because she was, so I loved how she played this scene because she was simultaneously mad at him.
Right.
And
right.
like, this is what true artists do.
Yes.
And so if you're doing this, then this means that
you're legit.
I picked the right guy.
Right.
Like,
right.
It was like she was simultaneously happy and disappointed. Pointed in him
and at the same time
it was great.
It was, and that's the thing about this movie is everybody is charming as f.
Yeah,
like there's not
even
a single,
the sleazeballs.
Even the sleazeballs, yeah. Like you're totally in for the whole thing. So he realizes that he can't get Eleanor Rigby right, he can't get some of these other songs right, so he's just like, I gotta go to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And she's just like, what on what planet do you want to leave Los Angeles to go to scummy Liverpool? He's like, I just gotta go. He's like, well, you've got to be back here on this day because we've got James Corden and you've got this and you've got this and this. And he was like, fine, whatever. So he goes to Liverpool. We should say that there's a, when he's doing like the first concert with Ed Sheeran in Russia, while he's playing the song, there is one guy that is like,
wait,
freaked out.
Yeah, that's just like kind of staring at him like something right here.
And I do appreciate that. I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Now we've got some conflict.
And he's got this internal clock going, basically, where he feels like he's going to get caught.
Yeah,
like,
for
you know,
sure.
And it's starting
the
with this
guy. The other shoe is going to drop.
Yeah.
Because he also got to think, at some point, is the world going to remember?
Right.
And then what's going to happen?
What
to
happens
you?
Then? Yeah.
Like, what happens if, like, Paul, Ringo, John, and George, like, who exist in the world
which
somewhere?
Which they tease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they tease that, like, so I thought this was real life. Like, they play this very well.
I don't like this. I hate when movies do this.
The dream sequence?
The head fake on a dream sequence where you think, like, you know, something major's happening with the plot, and then, like, surprise, just a dream.
Just
like,
a dream.
Oh, I hate that.
It didn't bother me because...
I know, Brady, I know you're a big Sopranos fan. Like, the dream episodes of The Sopranos...
when he was shot.
...were the big... Because they did, like, two or three of them.
Yeah, it was a long...
And it was, like, just the biggest bunch of navel-gazing. Like, I like The Sopranos, but, like, I'm just, like... This is a complete and utter waste of my time.
It was a good way to get inside of Tony's head and like the different things that were like, like he thinks about or like how it would affect him consciously and everything. And, but like after, like you said, two or three episodes, like he's got to wake up. Like,
yeah.
I want to get back to, you know, what else makes The Sopranos great
right,
besides Tony.
Like, oh, I hated that.
Yeah.
I feel like with how many seasons that go? Five?
Six or seven?
It's seven, but it's six A and six B.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you're allowed to get some mucked up episodes in there every once
in a while. Yeah, nobody's going to bat a thousand. Right. But yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah.
So yeah, so he does have this dream where he's on James Corden, who I can't stand, by the way.
Really?
Oh, man.
I don't watch him, but I...
He annoys me to no end.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know much about him.
It's for the best.
Yeah.
But like, he's like, I got to tell you, we've got one of the things I like to do is, you know, surprises. There's two men from Liverpool that have said that they wrote those songs. And of course, it's Paul. He says Paul McCartney and George Harrison. And you see like feet.
No, Ringo Starr.
Oh, was it Ringo Starr?
I thought they're actually going to get
because they picked the two that were still alive.
Yeah.
And so that's my favorite head fake of this entire movie. I almost cried. When they get to that other scene.
Yeah, that's, okay. I mean, that guy.
Holy shite.
Yeah.
So he wakes up and then, you know, it's a dream. It's not real. So then he goes to Liverpool, and he's going to Eleanor Rigby's grave, and he's going to Strawberry Fields, which they tore down, yeah. Which I enjoy. I was like, of course they would. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know, that's not an important part.
At right, this, I know, you know, right? Yeah. But I like, because he's like trying to remember the rest of these songs. Like,
right.
So he's inspired. Yeah,
yeah. He's like, so I'm going to walk around and see if something's going to
click.
Because he knows that both of those songs are just kind of catalogs of things
that
happen.
What does Father McKenzie do?
Yeah.
So, but now here in Liverpool, he's being followed by this woman. And it's just like, oh, man, like the other shoe is going to get bad. So he's in Liverpool and Lily James shows back up and they have this interaction between the two where it's like, oh, this is a thing. Like, I feel it. You feel it, you know, and it's a gut punch because he realizes that he does love her and it's too late. Yeah. Like, it's too late on her end because she's just like, this isn't, you know, you've had your entire life to make your move. And I've waited. She says, like, I've waited 15 years and it was the biggest mistake of my life.
I've waited half my life
to do this.
Scenes with her too. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, yeah.
That those scenes, like when he lets her go in the bedroom before going to, and the scene here, like, she's
great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she's Cinderella, right?
Yeah,
like
Cinderella, Baby Driver. Like, that's where I
fell in love. Pride, Prejudice,
with
and Zombies.
Yeah. Darkest
can't
Hour.
Can't bet a thousand.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like in the bedroom, they make out a little bit. They're going to move, and then she kind of jumps up and takes off.
Yeah.
He's got to go. Like, he's got to get back to L.A. But they have that interaction. I do. This is another really cute scene where he's like, the train's leaving and he's standing there at the train station and he's just like, I got to talk to you. And she was like, cool, turn around.
Yeah.
And like, he turns around and there she is.
Yeah.
And so they're having another very intense conversation where this is where she says, like, I've waited half my life for you and it was a mistake. And now Rocky's like, hey, man, like, we got to go. Like, you're on FaceTime right now. And I do like that she's eating potato chips and
crisps.
And Rocky's like, can I get some of those? And she was like, what? Yeah, fine. And he just grabs, like, she's like, I said some, not all. Yeah. So, like, you know, he has to go and he takes off. And it's that this whole thing is like, it is a gut punch because,
yeah,
like, the way she plays it, where she's just like, you can't stay and I can't stay. You have to go. Like, you've worked your entire life for this. You have to go.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what to do. And like, the look on his face where he's just like, I don't know what to do. Like, this isn't what I want. Like, I want you, but I can't have you because, you know, I'm playing all these songs. They're pushing me to do Corden and get to a new image because my image is kind of goofy. I do like where they're at the restaurant. And he's just like, I would like the fish and chips and the fries and this. He's like, but I'm on a diet, so I will just have a salad.
Yeah. and then she's like, I'll have a salad with, she's like, anything else? Yes, a side of fries.
A side of fries.
And then he's like, yes, and all that other stuff.
So I'm trying to think, he goes back to LA, and is he back on tour? Like, is he just, he's running around?
Well, they go back for the meeting that we talked about already where they have all the album cover.
Oh, yeah, right. And they're all awful.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, like 2019. And, oh, this is the Hey Jude part where he's doing Hey Jude.
Yeah.
And, like, he has, Ed Sheeran.
So they're
going, like,
to call the album One Man Only. Hey,
right. Yeah, One Man Only.
Yeah.
Nobody writes. It's just him. There's no,
Which is kind of unfair because that's not true.
Yeah, he has, like, producers and he's got, you know.
Well, and there are also musicians. Lots of people that write all their own stuff.
That's true.
And they're just, they're maybe not top 40 artists, but there are lots of them out there that have very successful careers.
Absolutely.
It's just, you know,
not
what is currently popular music won't do.
No.
And I thought it was funny when later he talks about, like, you know, everybody says it's one man only, but it was really four guys. And I'm like, four?
Just four?
We gonna go with four?
We
don't want to go with three?
Yeah, I was like, there's there's only three.
Did Ringo write any of it?
No.
I don't think
so. Is it
so.
Pete Best?
Well, Pete Best was the drummer
before Ringo?
Yeah.
Maybe he wrote something.
No,
probably
he did not.
No.
He did not.
Did you ever read that Fifth Beatle? Did you read that book?
I did not.
It was fantastic.
I met Pete Best, though.
Did you?
I did. I did a show with them as a promoter, not like I didn't perform.
Oh, yeah. It was impressive.
Yeah.
No, it's a giant, oversized graphic novel about Epstein.
Brian Epstein?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Like, it's Andrew Robinson, I think, maybe wrote and drew it. Like, it's a beautiful-looking book, and it's about him. Like, the Beatles are in it, but it's his story, like,
right,
as their manager. It's fantastic. So, yeah, so he goes, he has the meeting, and he's just like, God, this sucks. Like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And then
there's a press conference that comes up where those two.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So he decides to to debut the album, he's going to go back to this hotel that he had a gig at that didn't happen.
They already closed down.
And he's going to play on the rooftop.
Right. They chose to close the hotel rather than have the
I mean,
gig.
I think they were being...
They were, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But he had booked a gig there, and then before he got there, right. Like went out of business. And so he's going to do a show on the rooftop of there. And
interesting.
Then, yeah. And then they're having a press conference.
Right.
And you see those two people in the back of the press conference, and the one's holding up a yellow submarine.
Yes.
And he's like getting very panicky.
He goes,
about
which
that.
Was your favorite, John, Paul, Ringo, or George?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, what? What? We got to go.
It comes to that claustrophobic scene where it's just him and like the you know, all the audio starting to die because he's just like, oh God, this is it.
Right,
you know,
right. This is the end of it right
and
now.
And I love the payoff for these two characters.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
I am right there with you.
Absolutely love the
payoff.
I don't
know what I expected. I didn't know what to expect either. Yeah.
And I loved the payoff. So they're
finishing up the album.
Yeah.
He gets a phone call from Lily James and she's just like, look, this is, I'd rather you hear it from me now. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm seeing somebody. It's Gavin, the guy who was the little record producer, and he was just like, so he's about the column comment is he's leaving, and they have this moment in his parents' house, in Jack's parents' house, where she basically says, I've loved you from the moment I saw you, the moment we met, but you never, she's looking at the names and it's like Eleanor Rigby and Judy and all like these different love songs. And she's like, I was never in that column. I've always been in that column. And he's like, I started to have a panic attack because like he's trying to work this through in his head and give her a legitimate answer, but the drunk ass mom downstairs is trying to give a speech.
Yeah,
the dad keeps interrupting
was,
and
yeah,
he cannot
such a hard
get,
scene.
Oh God, he can't get it together. So then she says, I'm seeing Gavin, and then we get to the rooftop scene.
Yeah,
and he's wearing this blue suit that they picked out for him, and here comes his parents and his
singing
parents
help.
Right, his parents are very happy for him. Lily James comes in and they have a moment, and here comes Gavin, of course, and he was like, of course Gavin's here, great. Yeah. And he gets up there and he kills it,
yeah,
of course, like doing help. And so he comes back down and he kind of collapses in his dressing room, and Rocky walks in and he's just kind of like, so there are these two people outside that have been like here the entire time and really like to talk to you. And he was like, they told me to give you this. And he was like, okay. And it's the yellow submarine.
Yeah.
So these the two folks, the dude and the gal that we've seen kind of lurking around, come in. She's like, you've got some explaining to do.
Yeah.
And he was like, I know, you know. She basically says, we just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? She goes, I think we're the only three that remember them.
We remember them too. And
This hit me right in the this was the first time where I teared up a little bit because it was like it was this mutual love of this stuff.
Yeah.
And
she's like, we remember them too, but we couldn't. Well, we can't sing.
Right.
So we couldn't keep it alive.
Right. And
you
can. And you did. And you saved these songs. You've saved it for us. And we just want to say thank you. And man, it was it was emotional. Like it was a very well done scene.
Maybe I need to watch it again separately because the way that. Were you at the screening last Tuesday?
I was not.
Okay,
I saw it.
That was played off it as a gag. Like everybody was laughing and at that when that happened, and so I didn't get a chance to emotionally invest into it.
Yeah, I hate when you're in a movie and a crowd kind of misses
what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, because like I mean, I saw it on Friday in a pretty full theater.
Yeah, mine was the same,
and mine did not have that reaction.
It was you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, they were like, oh, because I mean, I was expecting them to be like, we caught you,
right?
We're gonna rat you out or something, and instead they were just like, thank you for keeping the music alive,
right? Which is that's lovely.
Yeah,
there's no other word to describe that.
Yeah.
Or he's just like, I feel like I'm a failure. I'm a fraud.
And like when they're going back and forth where they were like, I didn't like what you did to this song.
And they're like, hey, dude.
And he's like,
I know.
That was not my idea. That's Ed Sheeran. Yeah. Like that's.
He goes, I couldn't remember all the words. She's like, yeah, we know. We got close.
Yeah, you got Mr. Kite all backwards. Yeah, right. Like you got it all out of order. And
But so,
and that's where I was going earlier when you're like, who could remember all the lyrics? I'm like, but there are people that like, these are the sorts of songs people obsess over.
Sure.
And so there are fans that are going to be like, oh no, you got those in the wrong order or you've.
Yeah. The Beatles. I feel like the Beatles and the Beach Boys are like two of those bands that have like those fans. That's just like,
absolutely.
No, you got that wrong. So he's just like, I feel like I'm a failure or not a failure, but a fraud. And she's like, here. And she hands him this slip of paper. And she's like, we did a little digging. And maybe this will help. So we flash to him in a cab, and he's driving down this long, winding road, and he gets to this beachfront property, single house, knocks on the door. And I was not prepared.
No. Yeah.
Of all of the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, there's two that are still alive.
Yeah.
And I just assumed
they're going to get a cameo.
It'll get McCartney or Ringo.
Yeah.
But this mother looks, and I feel like his voice was a little off, but yeah. I can't tell if like maybe that's what he would sound like at 70.
Yeah, it's hard
and
to get,
not
yeah.
singing.
Right.
You made
know?
It to 70. Yeah. So he opens the door, and who's standing there but John Lennon.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
whoa. And this guy looks like John Lennon. Yeah. Now, I will say he looked better like, straight on.
Yeah. I thought it was Matthew Modine.
Then from the side.
Like, I was like, did they get Matthew Modine to play John Lennon?
Did they get Jeffrey Wiseman?
Yeah.
I thought the prosthetic on the nose looked a little wonky when
off
you saw him
side.
In profile.
Yeah.
But when you that first shot where he opens the door and you see him dead on, it was like, whoa.
Everybody was
like, how are they doing this?
Yeah.
Like,
and it's funny, like we talk about what Marvel and Disney have done with
right.
like, de-aging and Grand Moff Tarkin and yeah. well, young Carrie Fisher, where it's just like, sure. yeah, they could, but that's all makeup.
I think they found an actor who looked close. Well, and it's a known actor. It's Robert Carlyle. He was Franco in Trainspotting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's been in, I mean, tons of stuff over the years. So, I mean, he was in 28 Weeks Later. And,
okay.
But,
little Danny Boyle stuff.
Yeah. He was also in The Beach.
Oh, I know exactly who this guy is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was like, isn't Franco in Trainspotting? Isn't he like kind of the tough guy of
yes.
the group?
Yeah. Yes. Like, is he not the main guy in 28 Weeks Later?
Well, yeah.
He is. Yeah. Okay. And he has this, it's crazy because we know that John Lennon, if he had survived, if he hadn't been assassinated, would have been even more so than what he was.
I don't know. And this is the...
Do you think it's because he was assassinated that he was that level?
No, I think...
He was elevated by the Beatles. Like,
and I think he... I mean, I know people would hate to hear this, but like... But he would have never met Yoko. Yoko's who really redirected his personality.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, like... He was kind of a jerk.
And pre-Yoko?
Yeah, and like Yoko kind of got him more in touch with his feelings. And he was even a jerk when he was still with Yoko.
Right.
I mean, if you read about it, there were some pretty ugly times. But that kind of like wise, forward-thinking, progressive kind of like, I really feel like a lot of that came from Yoko.
Okay.
And so he would have presumably never met her.
That's true. Well, he does talk about a wife, but I guess don't know who that could have been.
Yeah, and I don't know how he would have met, because she was also like, I think people also don't realize it, she was fairly well known in the art world.
Did she roll with Warhol?
I don't remember, but
okay.
But she was kind of already a known thing in the art world when he met her. And so, like,
she killed the Beatles.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and she didn't.
No,
like,
she
I mean,
didn't,
it's right. easy to point to that, but she didn't. And
well, when your name becomes synonymous with
sure,
you know,
but but like, I really think in a lot of ways she expanded him as an artist. So even if she did result in the downfall of the Beatles, I mean, I think also he wouldn't have written a lot of the sort of songs he did had it not been for her. That the stuff post meeting her.
Sure,
you know what I mean.
Sure. But, I mean, even in this moment where he's sitting there with Jack and he is kind of like spewing, waxing, you know, poetic with him, and he's getting them together.
You see all his drawings
later
on, which I'm like, did he draw before he met her? I don't know.
That's a good question. So he like just has this moment, and it was very touching, and it was very beautiful the way it was filmed, where they're just sitting together and having this conversation. And I love when he's just like,
can I hug you?
And he was just like, I guess. And he was like, Jack, you need some serious help. And he was like, I know. So we get to the end of this flick, and he realizes that he's got to tell
everybody.
Just come
clean.
He has to do this.
Yeah.
He has to tell Lily James that he loves her, and you know, in rock star fashion.
Yeah, put her on the big screen.
Yeah, right.
Thousands of people, maybe the whole world if it's televised.
It was at Wembley. So did the, I wonder if the Beatles ever played Wembley? Probably, right? I mean, Queen definitely
did. Yeah.
Huh. We'll have to wait for Tom to get back when he's done peeing. I ask him, the two, you know, 30, how old are you?
32 as of Friday.
Right, the two 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
I have no idea if they played or not. So they get to Wembley, and it was supposed to be like just a surprise performance. Like, he wasn't supposed to be there. It was he's like, I'm just going to spice up his set a little bit. And he comes out and he does like his big hits.
I hate this ending.
Oh, I like it.
I mean, I don't dislike the ending as much as like I have
issues with, like, there's no way this guy's going to come out and commandeer Ed Sheeran's set.
Right.
Like, and
that's true.
He doesn't come out and do, like, one song.
He's doing, like, five
he
or six or seven.
He does a mini concert, yeah, right, and he's got a brass band that comes out, and then he has this big moment. And then as soon as that moment ends, the concert's over and people are leaving.
Yeah, are you telling me that he closed, like, Ed Sheeran opened for him?
Right. I'm just like, no. Yeah. I have...
That's
I
fair. Did the Beatles play Wembley?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
Okay. So he plays his songs, and he stops, and he has Rocky bring Lily backstage, and they put the backstage camera on Lily.
It was then, at the time, it was called Empire Pool.
Oh, so interesting. Yeah. Okay. So she's on the big Tron, and he lays it out for her, and he's just like, look, I love you. Like, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And I want to be with you. He's like, also, I got to tell you, I didn't write any of these songs. Like, this is written by John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and George Harrison. I was like, can we not put George Harrison last? Like, let's be honest in this. Like, third, I'll give you third, but he's not last.
I didn't think about it till now, and I probably should have when I was writing about it. If those people exist in the world, and as we know, John Lennon does, because we just saw him in the previous scene.
They'd be like, I did what?
Right? Like, there's so many, like, repercussions to him coming out saying specifically who wrote these songs, and people are going to ask questions.
Who are those people? And I liked where the crowd kind of turns on him.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would have. I think what would have happened if he had said all that, they would have thought that it was either a marketing thing,
right,
or he was crazy. But I think they would have thought, well, he wrote all these songs, but he just has this weird backstory to make them even more intriguing and mysterious.
Yeah.
In the same way, remember when the White Stripes first started and it was like,
they were brother and sister.
Are they married or are they brother and sister?
Yeah.
Or are they both? And they, like, just kind of let that linger for
Manson
a good chunk
was
of time.
The same way.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And
Manson's the guy from the Wonder Years.
Right. And I don't think it would have hurt him at all. I think it would have made him more interesting and more mysterious.
Yeah.
And I also think that if the Beatles still don't exist in that world, like, because he says they upload the songs for free.
Right. They're all free.
And then he's like, I'm not going to take any money from them. But, like, he could have still made a really solid living at this point as performing those songs.
Right.
Because he's the one who reintroduced him to the world.
Right.
And so, like, he could have been like, I'm not going to take any royalties from the songs,
but I'll take my appearance fee.
Right. Yeah, but I'll take my appearance fee for performing
those
songs.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, remember, Marilyn Manson had the color taken out of his retina.
Yeah.
His iris was one of them.
He had a rib
so he could take care of himself.
Right.
He was Polly from the Wonder Years.
Yeah. There was
like, when you look at him, you're like, I could see it.
Yeah, he was not. But,
no, he's not.
But I could absolutely see it. Yeah.
But it just led into the mythos of Marilyn Manson at that time. So, yeah, so Rocky's behind him, and he was like, are you sure you want to do this? And he was like, yeah. So they, apparently you just hit one button and everything gets uploaded.
That's how the internet works.
Yeah.
How real spoilers works?
Yeah, yeah, totally. I think so. Kevin does it.
Until
all the stuff we said on the
line. Right. Now he doesn't do it anymore.
No, we don't know if anyone will ever hear what we're saying right now.
And I do love that Kate McKinnon is kind of busting his dad, Jack's dad's balls.
Yeah.
About
like,
Jack.
When did you realize you were too good? Your son was too,
too good
for
you. And then, of course, I love her in the scene where she is just losing her mind trying to get to him. They have a moment.
She's storming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lily James and the Jack have this moment where even Gavin's like, no, dude, like, I knew. Like, of course I knew. Like, yeah. I always knew I'd be number two.
Yeah.
And they kind of pimp away and they leave. And that's kind of how the movie ends, is they go back to the hotel, they hook up, they get married. Then I do like that they give you, like, you know, a 6 or 7 year progression where, like,
right,
Jack goes back to school to teach music, and they've got kids and they have this life that's perfect and it's exactly what they want. You see the two people who kind of didn't out him but were also knew the Beatles,
right,
wearing like the Sergeant Pepper's jackets, dancing around to the music.
Yep.
And that's kind of how
Gavin's
it ends.
Got a girlfriend.
Which she saw
they
earlier
do
in the movie.
Yeah. Well, it was weird because when they were having that scene in the hallway,
yeah,
where he's like, I always knew I was number two, there was a girl just standing
there.
That girl was
Lily James' roommate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
From earlier.
Because that's who he ends up with.
Yes.
Okay, because I was just like, who is this girl that's just standing there? Okay.
Right.
She was kind of in the background throughout the movie.
He asked her to be his roadie.
Okay.
When Lily James is like, I can't do it. He's like, what about you? And she was like, no. So, yeah, so they're having this perfect life, and they're standing there, and he's like, oh man, I feel like I feel like I'm Harry Potter and I just defeated Voldemort.
And I saw it coming.
And she goes, who's Harry Potter?
Yeah.
And he was like, nobody. And closes the drapes. And I was like, good call. Good call.
I liked it. I did too. I liked that
I
ending.
Yeah.
I mean, even though, like, well, he couldn't get away with it twice.
Could he?
Well, if, like, they already know
this that she wrote it.
If they know this other story, and then he comes on and is like, oh, and I've written this book.
And I've created cigarettes and Coca-Cola.
I will also say it's going to be a lot harder to reconstruct
the Harry Potter world
than it is the Beatles songs.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was charming. It
and
was funny.
I loved the last song, which was Obladi Oblada.
Oh, yeah,
Life
of course.
Goes on.
Yeah, like,
I thought that was a great choice.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's adorable. It's charming. It's fun. It's a perfect date movie.
Yeah. My friends asked me if they should go see Rocket Man. I was like, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard good things.
Rocket Man's great.
But I did see Yesterday. Go see that.
Yeah, I think Yesterday is a different movie than Rocket Man. Rocket Man is like, you know, dick punch after dick punch, because that guy never kind of makes it. I mean, obviously he makes it, but
like it's not till the bitter end that he finally kind of gets it together.
Yeah. And this one, it's just, it's funny. It's charming. Like, it's Danny Boyle. What a career.
He can just do so many different styles of movies. Yeah. It's very impressive.
Tell you what, I've been listening to the Beatles quite regularly.
I got to tell you. So, like, I have never been a big Beatles fan. Like, well, now hear me out. Like,
no.
I appreciate.
You've lost all credibility.
I absolutely 100% respect them and respect what they did for rock and roll. It just I was just at that age where I was like, everybody likes the Beatles.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not liking the
My
Beatles.
My dad would play
Everybody
them,
likes the Beatles.
Like, anytime he had control of the stereo, he'd play a Beatles album, and I knew the songs,
sure,
but I didn't like listen to the songs or appreciate them as much as
I would today. This movie, I listened to the words more because of this movie than I ever have.
Oh yeah, they're relatable.
It's just like, God dang it. Like, these guys are really, and it, obviously, like, I'm not saying, trust me, I get the Beatles.
Yeah,
like, I understand.
I get it. Yeah.
But yeah, this has definitely increased my enjoyment of their songs because of this movie.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was a really cute, enjoyable movie.
Yeah,
yep.
And there you go.
You can't argue with the soundtrack.
No, absolutely not. I got whatever you do, don't go see Across the Universe.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God, I hated that movie.
Do this
so
one.
Much. Hated that movie,
that movie
so much.
That sucks.
I know some people love it, and I was like, yeah, I know Kevin did, but God, I wanted to like it. I liked the concept of it.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
It's a straight musical, right?
Yeah. And that doesn't bother me. Yeah. What bothers me is that it sucked.
Yeah.
It was just so heavy handed.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was very pretentious.
It was.
I couldn't.
That's not Baz Luhrmann, is it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's the kid from 21. That's the actor in it, right? The
Blackjack
movie with Kevin Spacey.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I've blocked it out.
We don't talk about it.
I know. I didn't know if 21 was a reference.
That's the one where he's teaching Topher Grace, right?
I think.
Where, like, Topher Grace is kind of like the Tobey Maguire. Oh, no. What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the
Molly's Game.
Molly's Game.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, go check this out.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally worth your time.
And Michael Cera was playing the Tobey Maguire type character.
Okay, so then
I think Topher Grace is in 20.
I think Topher Grace is in 21.
That's what it is. Yeah. So, well, anyway, that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Brad. You can find me on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can also find the show online, Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, you can like the page, join the League of Show Sharers, share an episode with your friends, and also don't forget our Patreon account, patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up next week, I guess we will skip the box office once again.
This
is what happens when Kevin leaves. We will tackle Spider-Man Far From Home and Midsommar.
Yeah.
So
game on.
Buckle up.
Of those. Yeah,
game on. Talk about whiplash from film genres.
Yeah.
You are in for a treat, if you want to call
it
that.
I'm interested to see what you guys say about them.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what you have to look forward to. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Harry accidentally traps himself in the bathroom.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.